Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What up, you ticket potters? Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Sky Guasco, joined by my man, Jordan Della Valle. You can find Jordan on Twitter at JDellaValle7. And you can find me on Twitter as well, Sky Guasco, SkyGuasco. We got the comment section bumping already. Excited to be with you this evening. It is Wednesday. We're a day later today. Last night we tried to record, had a couple difficulties, and I'm working way early in the morning, so we had to switch around our schedule, and we just had to punt for a day, but no big deal. This is the type of episode that can wait an extra day if necessary, so not a problem there. We are getting into our week 11 game recaps and what to look forward to in week 12 per usual. Jordan, interesting week last week. Your Eagles are looking really good as of late. Niners are beating up on the Rams and the Jags, so I'm not really sure which team to focus on here, but either way, we're looking good so far. We have three games, of course, this upcoming week, tomorrow, on Thanksgiving, and we have two more teams still on a bye. Almost through the bye weeks, we're in like kind of that front-running fantasy football playoff season. Right now, trade deadlines are either happening this week or coming up next week, or they've already surpassed if you didn't move them up. Per usual. So a lot happening right now in fantasy football. How are you feeling with your teams, man? How's the overall vibe around your fantasy season? You in a good place? Are you trying to make some last minute moves? You sitting on top? How we doing?
Yeah, doing pretty well. I was actually just putting all of them, you know, across all the platforms that we play fantasy on, trying to put them all into one spot to see how I'm doing. And of the, I think it was, you know, 13 leagues that I was tracking in the playoffs in all except four. So not too bad in terms of a percentage there. I mean, obviously with 2 to 3 weeks left in the season, depending on the format, you know, could fall out, could make my way in. So we'll just say nine for now. So I'm feeling pretty good. In terms of the Eagles, I was looking up Super Bowl tickets after that week one win against Atlanta. I quickly put those dreams to bed after those next couple weeks, but they're starting to come back a little bit. I'm feeling good. I've started saving up in case things get going, you know, stay going in this right direction, and maybe we'll look to be buying a Super Bowl ticket in the next couple weeks if Jalen Hurts looks as good as he is.
Yeah, so if any inclination of the rest of the season and playoffs are over the last couple of weeks, obviously Philly and San Francisco are going to meet in the NFC championship game. That seems to be a foregone conclusion. My question to you, and I'll answer after you do, of the dominant for sure playoff teams in the AFC, which team do you most want to face if you're a Philly fan in the Super Bowl?
Most want to face. Like I, as an Eagles fan, I would want to see them in the Super Bowl.
Which AFC team would you want to go up against, though?
Right. Not who do I think will make it.
Correct.
I mean, do the Patriots count?
Sure. Like Patriots in first place right now, bro.
In their division, sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't expect that they'll end the season there, but Buffalo's been faltering. If New England were to make the playoffs and I could pick a team to go up against, I mean, you're telling me, I know Belichick's obviously a great coach. And their defense is pretty staunch so far this year. But going up against a rookie quarterback in a Super Bowl is something you can't really beat. So I think I'd roll with the Patriots. How about you?
I like that. I'm trying to think out loud here. Obviously, right now it would be Tennessee because they're mightily struggling. Derrick Henry's out, but assuming he's healthy and whatever, they're going to be a tougher team. I'll take pretty much whoever comes out of the AFC North. And I didn't think I would say that. Maybe a rematch with the Ravens. If we can bottle up Lamar, I think we'd be fine there. Or if the Browns make a push, Jack Conklin and Kareem Hunt are off IR at this point, so they're eligible to come back. They could make a run, maybe. So one of those AFC North teams, I think. I mean, if the Bengals make a serious attempt or the Steelers become real again, you know, that could happen. But you know, that's something I would probably the AFC North, I think, would be a best match for the 49ers. All right. Of course, folks, we are tongue in cheek for the most part, but we're in the playoff hunt, as they say. So that's fun to think about, at least until the dreams are officially squashed. So once again, Jordan Della Valle and Sky Guasco with you this evening, breaking down the week 11 game recaps. We're going to start with Monday Night Football. That was the Giants and the Buccaneers. Giants came out and gave up a touchdown immediately. And then we're kind of competitive, but the Bucs end up running them at the end of the game. And it wasn't close. 30-10, the Buccaneers run away with it at the ending. And really the highlight of this game on a, you know, just kind of a personal note was Mike Evans catching a touchdown from Brady, becoming the all-time leader in touchdowns for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, passing up my man, Mike Allstott. So it was good to get him a shout out there. But just, man, you know, Brady, you knew you couldn't keep him down too long. They lost two games plus a bye week, and he's just been stewing for 3 weeks. And wasn't even that dominant against the Giants. The Giants just didn't play very well on top of that. So they make it happen. Saquon Barkley does play, but he had, you know, 30 yards rushing, 30 yards receiving on six receptions. I mean, just no efficiency there, unfortunately. And Buccaneers back to business.
Yeah, absolutely. And no efficiency from Barkley, but I mean, that's what we've come to expect with running backs against this Tampa Bay defense, right? Where, I mean, he only got six carries. Like, that's probably not the workload that Saquon Barkley is going to have moving forward. He has my beloved Philadelphia Eagles twice the rest of this season. So has a decent schedule moving forward. And the good thing, I mean, in terms of if you're in a half PPR or full PPR, Saquon was fully involved in this pass offense. Obviously, Tony had the most targets, but when you get six targets, six receptions from your running back in any half or full point PPR, when you're facing anyone that's not the Tampa Bay run defense, you should be pretty solid in terms of your fantasy output. You know, you throw on top of that the fact that the Giants will hopefully not be, well, if you're a Giants fan, hopefully not be down this early. I mean, Saquon's always going to be involved in this offense. And so I think, you know, obviously moving forward, it's not someone that I'm concerned about. If I have Barkley and, you know, if someone's looking to trade him before this deadline, I'd be happy to take him on my team.
I like that. Don't love the schedule moving forward. Don't love the offense. But Saquon, and people need running back. So I agree, if there's a buy low opportunity, maybe take advantage there. All right, Bucks big over the Giants. Levy, big Bucks fan. Bobby, big Giants fan. This round goes to Levy and the Bucks. All right, let's dial it all the way back to Thursday Night Football. You and I don't usually do Thursday Night recaps because Bob usually handles those quickly before he gets into player trends episodes. But as I've mentioned multiple times on the podcast this week, we as a program did not have the back end programs. We didn't have the game previews. We didn't have player trends last week. We were focusing on second half winners and losers, trade targets, fantasy football schedule, notifications, and looking ahead there. And we kind of just had an abridged week. I was en route. We were gearing up for Thanksgiving, whatever. So we didn't have that last week. So Bob didn't get it done. So let's knock it out real quick. Patriots, Falcons, Falcons look terrible, and the Patriots, as you mentioned earlier, look really good. They started slow. Mac Jones, rookie, new team. Last year they had the Brady hangover, yada, yada. Look, man, they are in first place in the AFC West – or AFC East, excuse me. And I think everybody, me included, assumed the Bills would run away with the division. Well, they have not. And as of right now, the Patriots are that, you know, top seed in that division there. Which is massive. And the Falcons, you know, Calvin Ridley's out. Patterson's been out. Mike Davis is inefficient. And Matt Ryan just looks toast, unfortunately. No defense. They've been really struggling. Mac Jones, just 200 yards and a touchdown, but enough to get it done. Doesn't turn the ball over. Ryan does throw two picks. And that defense for the Patriots looks midseason form and looking ready for a playoff push, to be honest. And we've seen for years, even when Brady was super young, before he was Tom Brady, those defenses carried a lot of those runs in the playoffs. And of course, Tom Brady was a huge part of those, but the playoffs are when defensive teams shine, and the Patriots are looking like that squad right now.
Yeah, absolutely. They are. The defense is getting better every week. They play a depleted Tennessee offense next week. So again,
Tennessee looks terrible.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have Derrick Henry. I mean, I think AJ Brown's technically questionable. Julio's on IR. I mean, it's just like a who's left. I mean, honestly, Sky, I think I know you got the early work schedule now, but Titans might be calling you next on Sunday. They're running out of just everyone.
I'm ready to go. I'm absolutely ready to go.
But I mean, the other thing too with the Patriots, that from a fantasy perspective, I mean, I think from an NFL perspective, they're on a roll right now. From a fantasy perspective, one of the most frustrating things is with the emergence of Ramondre Stevenson is now we're back to the days of we have no idea who to start if we can out of this Patriots backfield. I've had fantasy teams where I have both and didn't start either on Thursday because I just didn't know who, you know, would. If, you know, they're both healthy, who's going to be the guy to score? You know, who's going to be the guy that gets the most touches? They were pretty much 50-50 in this game. And as long as they're both healthy, I don't know if I'm ever really fully confident, except in a great matchup, to play either of them. But that said, they have, you know, we talked about the strength of schedule rest of season for running backs and wide receivers. And the Patriots have the hardest remaining schedule from a running back perspective. So you pair that with the fact that you're now splitting almost a 50-50 timeshare with Harris and Stevenson, I'm not really excited about almost any option, maybe outside of Hunter Henry, just because of how thin the tight end is, with any Patriots offensive options, even Mac Jones in a one quarterback league.
Yeah, likewise. And I had mentioned Damien Harris is one of my fades, right, in the second half because of Ramondre Stevenson, as you mentioned, but also, as you two mentioned, the schedule. Yep. The Patriots opponents heading into the back half of the season and through the playoffs as a collective are giving up only 14 PPR fantasy points to running back position. And that's just obviously not going to get it done to a team that doesn't use PPR, right? Like they don't pass to their backs like they used to with James White back in the day. So that one could be a struggle. Okay. That's Thursday Night Football. Let's move into the Sunday slate here and we'll crush out these morning games here. All right. My Niners get a big win over the Jags. I know it's the Jags, but as a Niners fan, I was straight up expecting them to come over with one of those super high wins over the Rams, divisional opponent, a lot of emotion, and then lay an egg against the Jags, which is just too common in the NFL. And they didn't. Shouts out to Shanahan and the squad, like coming out, handling business. They were up 17-0. I was driving back from California, listening to it on the radio with my pops, and they, you know, it was Ayuk, and then rushing from Deebo Samuel, a rushing touchdown was dominant there. James Robinson did have a touchdown. No Elijah Mitchell, so Jeff Wilson Jr., 19 targets, but just 50 yards. That was a tough one. But Brandon Ayuk, man, 7 catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown. My Niners get the win, as they should, over the Jags, 30-10.
I will say the one thing about that Jeff Wilson line is, if you were listening on the radio, I don't know how close it sounded on the radio, but that first drive, the 49ers ended up settling for a field goal. There was a play where I think it was play action play. Wilson was, I don't think there was anyone within 20 yards of him. And Jimmy just missed him. He was in the end zone. Easiest touch. I could have made the touchdown catch. Wide Jeff open. Absolutely would have made it. And Jimmy just missed him. So, you know, a little Trey bit disappointing Lance there. Trey Lance would have run it in. yeah, but so a little tidbit there in that Wilson's day didn't look as bad as you know, the fantasy output. He could have had that touchdown there. The really interesting thing though is Deebo does score again, but only 2 targets. He's starting to be, you know, he was used in the rushing game. And I think, you know, a couple weeks back, it was just a game plan in terms of the defense they were facing. It was raining that day as well. And so just trying to find a way to get him the ball. This week, it felt almost more like we don't trust Jeff Wilson completely in the backfield. I mean, Deebo got 8 carries out of the backfield. So it's interesting to see how that changes with, you know, when Mitchell comes back, Hasty, Wilson, if that running back room can ever stay fully healthy. I wouldn't expect Deebo to still continue to get 8 carries out of the backfield. But if he's only getting 2 targets, the question is, are those targets getting depleted because he's being used out of the backfield? Or is you know, Brandon Ayuk had a 30% target share this week with a full Kittle, full Deebo. Is it almost, you know, Ayuk's time now in the season where he's going to start to emerge and, you know, kind of cut into what we've known as Deebo to be, what, the wide receiver 2 on the year?
Yep. And, you know, Cynthia Freeland brought him up on episode 500. I've brought him up a couple of weeks prior to that. We've been selling to sell high on Debo for a month. And to Debo's credit, he's been dominant for the last month. So if you didn't sell him, you're stoked because he's doing well. Yeah. If you did, you know, acquire him, you've also been stoked. So, you know, it's a win-win either way. But I do think that Debo's going to start dialing back a little bit. And the 49ers want to run and run often. And if Debo can be a switch hitter, you know, in the backfield as well, kind of Cordarrelle Patterson-esque, absolutely Shanahan's going to use him that way, right? So we see it with Robert Woods a lot with the Rams, same offense. When you have that weapon there, I think that's a great option. Okay, let's move on here to the Bills and the Colts. The Colts, massive victory here over the Bills. This one kind of shook the NFL a little bit. And I think, you know, we've been seeing the Colts. They started very slow. And we saw them kind of bubbling, right? They get a good win here. They beat a bad team there. They run off a couple in a row. Carson Wentz is playing really well. He's healthy finally after two sprained ankles to start the year. Jonathan Taylor's starting to warm up. Michael Pittman's starting to emerge. And then you blink, and all of a sudden the Colts are, I would argue, like probably the hottest team in the AFC right now on a consistent basis, obviously with that running back, you know, dominance with Jonathan Taylor. The Bills came into the week number one against letting up the least amount of rushing yards on an NFL term in the NFL. They left that game in 14th place. So Jonathan Taylor put up 204 and five touchdowns. If you had him in fantasy, you dominated. If you had him in DFS, you won money. Jonathan Taylor, absolutely the hottest player in fantasy football in the NFL right now. Josh Allen, 209, two touchdowns and two picks. Stephon Diggs does have two scores as well. And Dawson Knox comes back, six catches, 80 yards. That's a massive game from a tight end without a touchdown. If he were to score a touchdown, we're talking 20-plus fantasy points. Dawson Knox is back. And I've got him in my top six, man, the rest of the season. And I don't even know if I would start, like, a Dallas Goedert, TJ Hawkinson, Kyle Pitts automatically over a Dawson Knox. I think it's Kelsey, Kittle, Waller, and Andrews. And then I'm definitely considering Dawson Knox every week in that kind of five spot.
Yeah, I think it's the same for me. I mean, the tough part about the Bills offense and especially the passing offense is there's so many good options for Josh Allen that it could be Knox, it could be Diggs, it could be Sanders, it could be Beasley that gets, you know, the touch. I mean, 2 weeks ago, it was Breida finding the end zone. And so when you have an efficient offense like this, and you're talking about the tight end position, that's where I kind of favor Goddard because I know that it's basically him and Smith in Philadelphia, right? So I have a better shot of Goddard being the red zone target or, you know, more involved in terms of a target share in that Philadelphia offense. They also have a great schedule rest of season. But in terms of a week-to-week basis, Knox is probably going to be one of your better tight end options for sure, and especially depending on the matchup that he or your other options at tight end may have. So hopefully you held him through the injury or at least acquired him towards the tail end. And a little bit of a personal anecdote from this one. Sky, I faced a Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler stack this last
week. Nice.
Yeah, that one was fun.
That's nine touchdowns coming your way.
That was. Yep, nine total touchdowns from two players. I had no shot after the Jonathan Taylor game, but the Eckler was the definite nail in the coffin of that matchup. So I wasn't looking forward to recapping this one, which is why I stuck with Knox instead of anyone on the Colts.
Oh man. Last year on Christmas Day, I believe it was.
Yep.
Was it? It was Christmas Day. Yep. Alvin Kamara scores his six touchdowns. Yep. I went up against him Christmas Day and was just like, oh, well, there's the week, and came back around, ended up winning the week over the top there. So, you know, you win some, you lose some. Yeah. And for everybody that had JT, a lot of, you know, JT and Eckler went against each other a lot as well, which is fun, yeah, too. So we have these blow up games, man. It's great to see it from the guys you not expect five touchdowns from, but when it's the key players like Kamara, JT, Eckler, you're kind of like, okay, like they are already elite. They have a great floor, but the ceiling is you know, just what Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams are to wide receivers. I mean, it's just so far and beyond everybody else. That's awesome, man. Okay, let's move on to the Dolphins and the Jets here. Dolphins squeak it out against the Jets, 24-17. Look, man, I've been saying it about the Lions all season long, and first of all, I'm going to go on record right now. It's Wednesday evening. Nobody wants to watch the Lions and Bears game, so just, you know, do your cooking or whatever you're going to do tomorrow. Spend some time with your family before everyone gets, you know, angry. Skip the Lions game, but don't be surprised if Detroit pulls out the dub. I'm throwing that out there right now. I think the Lions get the win tomorrow. I've been saying it about the Lions all season long. They're a good, really, really bad team, meaning they've been competitive all season long outside of one or two games. The Jets have been terrible as well, 2-7 on the year, right, 2-8. But they have been competitive for a lot of the games, and I think they're going to turn it around over the next year or two. They've also had four different quarterbacks. Joe Flacco comes in, 291 and two touchdowns. Elijah Moore, this kid finally hit his stride. The last 3 weeks, he's been absolutely on fire. Eight catches, 141 and a touchdown. Mac Hollis has a touchdown in this one. Miles Gaskin, 23 carries, 89 yards, and a receiving touchdown as well. The Dolphins also signed Philip Lindsay. I wouldn't be excited about that for fantasy necessarily. However, if you have Gaskin, look at Philip Lindsay. He has a similar type of back. He would be a true handcuff this time of season. So look at Philip Lindsay if you have Miles Gaskin there. But, you know, look, the Dolphins get the win, I guess. But, you know, the Jets are playing well-ish, and they've beat some good teams. This could be an interesting kind of a spoiler down the stretch here. We see it every year. Some bad teams beat good teams down the stretch when they're not paying attention. They could knock off some playoff teams down the way.
Yeah, they hit their stride. They use their fourth quarterback on the year, like you mentioned, and now they're back to their first, right? Mike White goes on the COVID list. Flacco's deemed a close contact, so he's now in the COVID protocols as well. And Zach Wilson is coming back off the injury, is expected to be the start of this coming Sunday. And so now we go back to, well, who's, I mean, Elijah Moore, yes, he's hit his stride now, but he has hit his stride with Mike White, with Joe Flacco. Like, he's never done it with Zach Wilson. And so as much as I hope Zach Wilson was sitting on the sideline and understanding what was working well in the offense when it was Mike White, when it was Joe Flacco, and learning from, you know, what they had success with, and, you know, hopefully just filling in and running and picking up right where the Jets have left off. You know, we didn't see that early on with Zach Wilson. And on top of that, Michael Carter's now out a couple weeks with an injury. So obviously Ty Johnson and Tevin Coleman are going to be the main backs. I personally lean towards Ty Johnson, but I think part of that lean is a gut lean based on how involved he was in the pass offense with these other quarterbacks that were okay dumping it off to the running back, which Zach Wilson just didn't do in his limited starts earlier on in the season. So interesting to see, you know, what to do with these Jets offense. I have a, you know, obviously Corey Davis was my presumed league winner in our episode last week. And so the question is, with what quarterback is he that is he that league winner? I mentioned that he's had the consistent targets from quarterback to quarterback. He did again this week. Obviously has seven targets, which was the same that Crowder had. Obviously Moore was leading in the target share, but Crowder finds the end zone and has a good fantasy day. So Davis kind of gets pushed down here by the touchdowns from Moore and Crowder, but in terms of target share, he's still up there, and obviously has Wilson back, who favored him earlier in the season.
Man, if Zach Wilson can get healthy and just, you know, just try to improve every single game and just kind of, you know, take it to basics and blah, blah, blah. Just try not to make a lot of mistakes. The Jets, A, I think are going to win a couple of these games down the stretch. And B, I think they're going to be a good team in the next 2 years. I really believe in Saleh and LaFleur. Obviously, I'm biased them as Niner guys, but I just think, like, what they're doing, the package, the way the team's built, they have a nice receiving core. They need to get a stud running back to stay healthy. Maybe Michael Carter is that guy long term. But, you know, shouts out to the Jets. I've also got a childhood buddy who's the assistant kind of get back coach, right hand man to Saleh as well from the 49ers. They brought him over to New York as well. So kind of, you know, low key rooting for the Jets. Let's go Jets. Also big Gary V fan. All right. Last one here before we take a break. I do see a handful of questions, start sick questions in the comment section. We will get to those in just a couple of minutes. Hang out with us. We're going to do one more game and then we'll get to your questions here after a quick break. Let's talk about those Lions. I mentioned kind of the, you know, the Lions in the NFC, the Jets in the AFC, you know, kind of apples to apples there. Swift, 14 carries, 136 yards, and a touchdown. Leads the NFL in running back targets and receptions. Not Eckler, not Alvin Kamara, DeAndre Swift. And he is the one true miss for me this fantasy offseason. I was worried about the groin coming in. I was worried about Jamal Williams, who was fine until he got hurt, too. I was worried about the offense, yada, yada. I basically faded Swift in, like, the fourth round for Allen Robinson, Cooper Kupp, you know, some of these guys a lot, and blew it. That's really the one miss for me this year. But Nick Chubb, 22 carries, 130 yards, and a receiving touchdown. I mentioned Kareem Hunt and Jack Conklin on the offensive line, both eligible to come back. So we'll see how that changes this offense, if at all. Hopefully for the better in both accounts there. But the Browns do get the win, 13-10, excuse me. Not pretty. Again, another game the Lions could have won. We'll see if they can get it done tomorrow against the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't think that they will. But, you know, I do see where you're coming from in that if they're ever going to win a game, maybe it is this one. But in terms of, you know, looking at this game a little bit deeper, the one thing obviously that jumps off the page is Nick Chubb's back and Dearness Johnson basically doesn't have a role anymore. You know, we saw earlier on in the season where with Hunt, the Browns are happy to employ a 2-RB system in their offense, but Dearness Johnson and Nick Chubb have a, you know, similar role, and Dearness Johnson is more of a Chubb replacement rather than you know, playing alongside of Nick Chubb. But the other thing is that Austin Hooper led the Browns in targets in this game. Obviously, since the departure of OBJ, the question is going to be, where do those targets go? Or are they to the tight end? Or are they still all, you know, split amongst Donovan Peoples-Jones, Jarvis Landry? But at least this week, Hooper did lead the Browns in targets. And looking forward rest of season, Browns have pretty good tight end matchups in terms of who they're facing, especially in the playoff weeks of your fantasy season. They have the fourth easiest schedule against tight ends. Now, obviously, Njoku's also there, so kind of splitting the work a little bit. But for the most part, it is Hooper. So if you're in desperation of a tight end, I mean, Hooper's probably a guy that's on your waivers. And so, A, if you're, you know, the Kelce owner, obviously going into the bye this week, or if you're looking ahead, you think you have that playoff spot secured and you don't have one of the you know, top tight end guys and you've been streaming all season, Hooper could be a good target for your playoff run.
That's a great call. And there's always somebody sneaky, man. There's always a couple of players that we don't think about. And because they're just not relevant most of the season, you'd never pick them up, blah, blah, blah. They don't have a big, you know, projection on your fantasy platform or whatever, and they start blowing up. So keep an eye on Austin Hooper. Nice deep dive there. I like that. All right, everybody. Jordan and I are going to take a quick breath. We're going to give a shout out to our friends at Care Factor. We'll be right back with more of our Week 11 game recaps, and we'll get to some of your start sit questions in just a second.
Hey, TCK Potters and Fantasy Focus community. Are you looking for options for hair loss? There are many options out there for treating it. However, most products treat the cause, such as DHT, and don't do much to support the growth of new and stronger hair. It's like removing harmful weeds from your lawn, but not doing much to fertilize the grass. That's why the Fantasy Focus and TCK team has partnered with Carafactor. Carafactor saw this problem and focused their research on finding just the right combination of biosynthetic growth factors and an innovative delivery system to promote fuller, stronger-looking hair. So whether you're a listener who suffers from various forms of alopecia or even stress-related hair loss, the Care Factor treatment is the perfect scalp-friendly solution that can help and influence stronger and healthy hair throughout all stages of the hair life cycle. And now, exclusively for TCK listeners, use the promo code TCK at checkout to get 15% off all products at shop.mykerafactor.com. That's shop.mykerafactor.com. Kara Factor, skincare for hair.
All right, Jordan, before we get into the second half of our questions here, we do have a couple here in the front here. I want to get into it. We Boston, go Sox. Start two, Mike Williams, Brandon Cooks, T. Higgins, and Marvin Jones in PPR.
Yeah, the interesting name here is Marvin Jones. What we didn't talk about in the Jags game recap was Agnew goes down to injury. So he'll be out. Obviously, Dan Arnold had a weird week with no targets. But now the pass catchers in Jacksonville, if you want to be in that situation, are going to be Marvin Jones, Dan Arnold, and Laviska Shenault for the most part. And so Marvin Jones should have the opportunity, especially in a PPR league. It's kind of enticing. Mike Williams has been up and down throughout the year. And obviously Brandon Cooks is coming off of a complete stinker, but has a great matchup next week against the Jets. So I think I'd go Cooks and either Jones or Mike Williams.
I'm actually going to go with Higgins and Cooks. T. Higgy, I think, is going to be fine. I think he'll bounce back, and the Steelers are not as dangerous versus the pass. We just saw the Chargers rip them much, which we'll talk about later. But, man, DJ Chark, Jamal Agnew, and obviously Travis Etienne to start the season for the Jags. Three great playmakers out for the season there, unfortunately. We Boston, hope that helps you out, brother. And Jordan number two, what up, gentlemen? Half PPR, flex Ramondre, Landry, Boyd, Jeff Wilson.
Yeah, so again, this is where Ramondre I talked about. I'm not, unless Harris, for whatever reason, misses the game, I'm not too stoked about starting Ramondre. Same thing with Jeff Wilson. If Mitchell is back and fully healthy, I'm not really interested in starting him. If Wilson has the backfield to himself again, I'd pick Wilson out of this bunch. But if both are splitting time, I'm... guess Landry.
Landry had a rushing touchdown. It was random. I'm going to stick with Jeff Wilson here, unless Elijah Mitchell's 100% in the half PPR. All right, Beach has officially entered the chat. What up, Beach? Good evening. We're going to get to one. I know you always have a number of questions, which we appreciate, but we got to get back to the program, so I'm going to do one or two of these here real quick. Buffalo versus the Saints or Chicago versus the Lions, DST, Jordan?
I'm taking Chicago.
I'm taking Buffalo. If we don't know, I mean, whatever, Trevor Siemian, no pass catchers, Alvin Kamara out, Mark Ingram maybe out, Tony Jones might be the playmaker there outside of Taysom Hill. I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills. I know they just got embarrassed, but I'll take the Bills. Pittman, Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, Jamar Chase, Van Jefferson, start three, Jordan.
Jeez. Allen, Evans, Chase.
Yes, I agree. Do you like Ty Johnson this week? Sure, if you need a running back, but I would stay away from him if you possibly can. And we are doing game predictions on a later show this week, buddy. You are in plenty of time. Ortiz, good to have you back, man. What up, fellas? Start Lamb if he plays, or Waddle, Judy, or Sutton, full PPR?
Starting Lamb if he plays. The matchup is great, and with Amari Cooper missing again due to COVID, you know, he'll by far lead it. I mean, I think he has been leading it, but even without Cooper, he'll lead it even more. If Lamb is not out, I go with Waddle.
Tim Patrick and Sutton got paid this week. I thought that was interesting. Yeah. Obviously, Judy under that rookie contract still. But, yeah, I'm going to go Lamb too. If he plays, if he doesn't, then also Waddle. And I know all you guys know here, but for everybody else listening, make sure you tune in every Sunday morning from 7 to 10 West Coast time and 10 to 1 East Coast time right before kickoff for 3 hours of start sit content. All right, let's move on to the rest of our matchups here. We are going down to the Packers and the Vikings. Vikings get the big upset here. The Vikings were really in control of this game for quite a while. And then, you know, they took a couple of series off. Rodgers showed up and made it a game. And then Greg Joseph, of all kickers, shows up, hits the game winner. And that's awesome, because on the Sunday live show, we had somebody ask specifically about Greg Joseph randomly, if we could do it Bob had his other three kickers. Faded Greg Joseph got the game winner. I just thought that was awesome. So the Vikings handle it and do business here. 8 catches, 169, and 2 touchdowns for my man Justin Jefferson. Dalvin Cook, over 100 total yards and a touchdown. Devonta Adams, 7 for 115 and 2. MVS, 4 for 123 and a touchdown. Rodgers, vintage game here, 385 and 4 touchdowns. Fantasy points galore, NFL points galore. This is a fun one.
Yeah, absolutely. No complaints about this game. I didn't play any of these players in fantasy, unlike Jonathan Taylor. So I was happy to watch this game in peace. And in terms of fantasy, I mean, this is what you love to see from Rodgers. Kirk as well. I saw a funny tweet, actually. It was someone said, we should make this game more interesting. Loser has to get vaccinated between Kirk and Aaron Rodgers. But that was pretty funny. A.J. Dillon looked good in his starting role, commanding that backfield. He'll have another week or so at least with Aaron Jones out. So rolling him out, starting him with confidence, pretty much starting everyone that you can from both offenses with confidence, especially coming off of this week. One interesting one is MVS, right? Like, this is the typical MVS game that we've seen every year where it's like, four catches, one of them goes for a touchdown. He somehow manages to compile over 100 yards. It's quite phenomenal. He'll probably have like 3 catches for 20 yards next week when everyone thinks that they can start him. In the right matchup, if Alan Lazard is out and MVS is the 2, especially with Aaron Jones out, where they are relying on Dillon, but obviously not with the same confidence level that you would of Aaron Jones, or if both were healthy. And now no tight end really to speak of. I think it's okay to take your shot at it.
AJ Dillon, 11 carries, 53 yards. Not crazy, but efficient day. Mm-hmm. 6 catches though. Love to see that, right? Big guy out in space, 6 catches, 44 yards. Hopefully that keeps up there for AJ Dillon. All right, Saints and your Eagles. Eagles coming out to play here. Big statement win here for the Eagles. Look, man. Nobody razzes their own team like you and I, but the Eagles are playing good football right now. And they're turning a corner, and it looks like, the Cowboys probably have the division locked up already. But because of that 7th seed, man, some ugly team has to make it. Why not the Eagles or Niners, right? Like, let's make it happen. 40-29, Eagles get the win over the Saints here. No Alvin Kamara. Again, out this week as well. Ingram has a knee injury also. 88 yards last weekend against the Eagles, but he might be out this week as well. Traquan Smith, 5 catches, 54 yards. Jalen Hurts, 3 rushing touchdowns. Love to see that. And look, man, I've railed Miles Sanders for 3 seasons. You called him out as a, buy low, rest of season winner for you during our second half outlook. 16 carries, 94 yards. Mm-hmm. Like to see it, dude. Like to see it. If he's going to get the work, I might be able to actually buy into this.
Like to see it. And he also did fumble in this game, which obviously, for the Eagles wasn't too impactful, but for fantasy, you take the negative points there. But what was really encouraging to me is I took a deeper look at this, and the reason why Sanders was a buy low was because of the upcoming schedule and that usage that we talked about. He got the usage here with 16 carries, but this was basically the hardest matchup that the Eagles had rest of season when I gave those stats and numbers last week. So New Orleans is second best in terms of fantasy points allowed to the running back position in a half PPR format. This week, against that very very good defense from New Orleans, Sanders was the running back 26 in the half PPR format. That includes the fumble. That's without any touchdowns. Jalen Hurts rushes for 3. As much as I love the guy, he's not going to do that every week, right? It's the same thing that we saw a couple weeks ago with the Eagles running back scored 4 rushing touchdowns. Jalen Hurts had a bad fantasy week, and the talk track there was, the Eagles running backs aren't going to score 4 touchdowns every week. Like, Jalen Hurts is going to get his. He gets his this week. Obviously not going to be the same moving forward, but without a touchdown, with a fumble, Miles Sanders is the running back 26, which is flexible, like a fringe RB2 in half PPR. Didn't have any catches, and was behind guys like DJ Dallas and Ronald Jones, who just happened to fall into the end zone. So you take all this into consideration, look at the schedule coming up for Sanders, and if there's any chance that a buy low window is still open for Sanders, I would encourage you to take it. Go on mute, Sky.
Boom. I am probably going to hold off maybe another week because I just want to see some consistency. But I've been fading Sanders for a long time, and I would love to see this happen. Something against the player. Yeah. It's just one of my classic things. I'm going to make a T-shirt eventually. It's not the player. It's the situation. I say it all the time. I like Miles Sanders a lot. I don't like the usage and how it goes down there in Philly for him. Okay, let's move on here to the Texans and the Titans. Man, Titans, wheels have fallen off, at least for this week. They've had some very impressive wins without Derrick Henry. Defenses looked a little bit better. Julio has basically not been existent this year, which is really sad. And I just hope for football that one of the best players of our generation, for sure, isn't just done like this. I mean, this is just – it's ugly and unfortunate. A.J. Brown also coming up gimpy. They release Adrian Peterson, bring him in for a couple weeks, release him. Which is unfortunate. So wheels are kind of falling off here for the Titans. On the other side, Texans at least showing a little gusto. I like to see that. So they get the win here, 22-13. Four picks for Ryan Tannehill. Nick Westbrook-Akeen, seven catches, 107. He's the guy probably, I guess, for Tennessee now. And Tyrod Taylor, two rushing touchdowns as well. Pretty ugly game here. Texans get the win, which obviously doesn't matter for them. If anything, it hurts them as far as draft capital at this point in the season with the Jets and the Lions. But the Titans, man, cannot afford, like the Bills did it with the Jets the other week, right? Like the good teams in good position this time of year cannot afford these overlooked games. This is a bad loss for the Titans.
Yeah, bad loss. And they've done this all year. Like they lost to the Jets. Now they lose to the Texans. And I'm blanking on who their third loss was, but they've beat the Chiefs. They've beat the Bills. Like, this is – it's just a weird season for the Titans so far. Obviously, losing, you know, your top talent will potentially do that. But I think it goes past that. I mean, even with the talent that the Titans had available in this game, they should have won this game against the Texans. I mean, I think everyone was shocked, especially, as 9 points isn't a terrible blowout, but it is a two-score game, which is quite shocking that the Texans would lose by two scores to the Titans. I mean, looking forward to both of these offenses. I mean, I think Brandon Cooks is really the only one that I'm even remotely interested in. I mean, the Texans backfield gets a little bit of clarity with Lindsey now gone. And it's just, I think, Rex Burkhead at this point for them. But you don't feel comfortable starting him. Tyrod Taylor had a decent rushing floor, has a good matchup next week, but I mean, for the most part, it's not a good passing offense, and one that I don't want a part of, unless it's Brandon Cooks that I'm maybe taking the shot on. But again, this is where we talked about preseason. Tyrod Taylor just doesn't really have that pass floor that most quarterbacks do, and just usually isn't consistent in being able to support a wide receiver on a week-to-week basis, and that's where you get these duds from Cooks, who goes 3 for 18 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, similar to Cam Newton. Obviously, Tyrod Taylor and Cam Newton are different physically and everything else. But at this point in their careers, not great passers, still pretty athletic, can rush here and there. And then for fantasy, they kind of have that buoy for fantasy points. Quickly going over this, lost to Arizona. Tennessee lost to Arizona 38-13 opening day. They then beat the Seahawks, the Colts, lost to the Jets in week four, 27-24. Beat the Jags, Bills, Chiefs, Colts, Rams. How about that 4 weeks? I mean, Bills, Chiefs, Colts, and Rams all going to make the playoffs most likely, and the Titans ran them out. Got the Saints there in a close win and then lost to the Texans. They got the Patriots coming up this week and then a bye week in week 13. Hopefully they can get it right. All right, Washington football team and the Carolina Panthers. Washington football team gets the dub 27-21 here. Cam does start back in Carolina since he left the squad. Three total touchdowns, two throwing, one rushing. Christian McCaffrey, 119 total yards and a touchdown. Pretty normal stat line for him. Terry McLaurin, five catches, 103 yards and a touchdown. Antonio Gibson, 19 carries, 95 yards. He does have a fumble in this game, but last two games for Antonio Gibson after about 6 weeks of very frustrating outputs in fantasy football. 26 carries 2 weeks ago, 19 last week, getting it done there for Antonio Gibson.
You know, Antonio Gibson had a similar stat line to Miles Sanders. Dude. It's almost identical. I actually think Gibson might have had three more carries, but both with no catches, both all rushing, both fumble. But it's interesting just to see, like, that's the narrative shift that we look at a lot of fantasy things through is, well, Gibson was frustrating the last 6 weeks, comes back and has a little bit of a bump up, and we're positive. He's trending in the right direction, where versus Sanders, who's been out, comes back. And now the question is, well, you know, oh, he didn't look as great. I mean, I'm fine with both of these guys moving forward. I think both have pretty good schedules rest of season. Both are heavily involved in the offense, so I'm not worried about either. But just want to point out there that the differences and similarities between the two running backs. If you're not in on Sanders, it's my last Sanders plug, at least for today.
I love that. Shout out to my friend Kenny Gainwell, who used to play for the Eagles too. He was a lot of fun with preseason hype. All right, let's move on here to the Bengals and the Raiders. Bengals get the win here, 32-13. Joe Mixon, 30 carries, 123 yards and two touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase scores again. And Darren Waller, 7 catches, 116 yards. He's had about 3 or 4 of these Darren Waller games. Not very consistent, but you love to see it. Derek Carr struggling. The Raiders offense has looked absolutely horrendous since losing Henry Ruggs because they don't have that deep threat. It's not Deshaun Jackson. It's been tough for them. Brian Edwards, just they refuse to get him involved, or he's just not doing it. Josh Jacobs is Josh Jacobs, low efficiency, and Kenyon Drake not used as much as I think he should be. So tough day here for the Raiders, but the Bengals, 32-13, big win for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Raiders offense is what's really disappointing. I mean, especially because you looked at the first couple weeks this season when they did have Ruggs and things looked promising. I mean, Waller, obviously, you always trusted. Jacobs was going through his injury thing, but in terms of the running back room production, it was there. And obviously, you had Ruggs was starting to be fairly consistent, even as a deep threat this year. Losing Ruggs, they try to replace, like you mentioned, the deep threat with Deshaun Jackson, who just, I mean, didn't pan out in LA. It's not really panning out here in Las Vegas. I hate to say that the former Eagle, I think, is done. Unless he wants to come home. If he wants to come home and play for Philly, we could use a deep threat as well. I mean, it's him or Quez Watkins, and we all know I love Quez. So, I mean, it's really disappointing to see this Raiders offense have just fallen off. I mean, I tried to stream Derek Carr in this matchup this week, but, I mean, they've just been struggling these last couple weeks. I'm fully out on pretty much any Raiders offense except for Darren Waller, just because of how thin we are at running back. And obviously the dude's just great. For the Bengals, it's, I mean, a touchdown saves Chase, but like, you're not really worried about Ja'Marr Chase. You're not really worried about Joe Mixon. I mean, I think pretty much for the Bengals, it's an all systems go, especially depending on the matchup.
I agree. Raiders opened the season 3-0, lost to the Chargers, lost to the Bears, beat the Broncos and Eagles bye week in week 8, have lost 3 straight. Giants, Chiefs, Bengals. Gets even more tough. They got the Cowboys this week, of course, tomorrow. Washington football team, that's winnable. But the Chiefs, Browns, Broncos, Colts, and Chargers to end the season. I think the Raiders are in big trouble here, and of course, they're going to have some coaching changes next season. Yep. Okay, Cardinals, Seahawks. Cardinals get the win here, 23-13. No Kyler Murray, no DeAndre Hopkins. They're probably not going to play this week either. And they will go into their bye week and just get healthy together. Makes sense. The Cardinals and Colt McCoy, let's give them credit, man. They have done well. They've won games without Kyler and D-Hop, and they're staying right in playoff contention. They're just fine atop that division, and they have put themselves in a good position, like we do with our fantasy rosters, where like they're like, well, let's just not play that guy this week because like I can afford the loss if I get one, and they just keep winning, which is great. Ertz, 8 catches, 88 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Bro, this is like vintage Philly Ertz. Love that. Maybe he was, you know, just tired of the atmosphere out there. He had too many cheese dogs or, you know, chili cheese dogs or something, and get the hell out. Rondale Moore, 11 catches, 51 yards. That efficiency literally doesn't even make sense. 11 catches, 51 yards. Tyler Lockett, 4 catches, 115 yards. That one also doesn't make sense, but your boy Lockett finally shows up. However, out-targeted by DK Metcalf.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's pretty much what we've seen almost for a majority of games where they've both played and have been healthy with Russ Wilson. DK typically does out-target Lockett, but Lockett seems to do well on less volume. So not too worried in terms of targets there for Lockett, especially coming off of what you lived through with Geno Smith. You're happy to have Russ back and see this production from Lockett. But the interesting thing is, I mean, the Seahawks offense as a whole really hasn't been doing well, especially Russell Wilson since coming back from the injury. I don't know if he's, you know, not 100%. I mean, obviously he's good enough to play, but a finger injury is a finger injury. That's something that you can play through without being 100% and still have it affect your performance a little bit. Have Washington coming up Monday night here this week. Hopefully what is a get right game? The question is, do you have the stomach and the confidence in this offense and Russell Wilson? I mean, I think you're starting DK and Lockett if you have them. Lockett might be the one that, you know, depending on where you drafted him, you might have better options or trades. But, you know, do you have the confidence to roll these guys out there off of, you know, back-to-back subpar weeks despite the good matchup on a Monday night?
Yeah, I'll fire him up. Washington football team is susceptible, and Russ has got to get right, but he clearly is not yet. That finger is obviously bothering him. All right, two more games here to preview. We got the Cowboys and the Chiefs, supposed to be the game of the week, maybe the game of the year, fantasy football points galore, bonanza, whatever you want to call it, 19-9. Jordan, Chiefs get the dub here, an ugly one. Amari Cooper does not play this game. He will not play tomorrow either. CeeDee Lamb gets a concussion, leaves the game early. He is questionable, trending in a positive direction, but he still has to get a neurologist to pass him for tomorrow. So fingers crossed there. Dalton Schultz, 8 targets, 6 catches, 53 yards. Clyde Edwards-Helaire returns, 12 carries, 63 yards, a touchdown. Just a really fun old school option, Andy Reid goal line play to get his touchdown, but it was good to see him back in there. Darrell Williams, still, you know, just like 4 touches, I think, in this game. Kelsey, 5 catches, 74 yards, rushing touchdown. He easily will go down as the most rushing touchdowns by a tight end in NFL history. I think he's got like 6 or something ridiculous with all these like wild caught plays and stuff. So Cowboys, man, just blow people out or don't show up. And they just didn't show up. Chiefs weren't even the Chiefs in this game, but they get the win.
Yeah, this was the opposite of the Packers-Vikings game that we talked about earlier. That game, everyone was stoked to see it, especially from a fantasy perspective. It was entertaining for NFL purposes. And then we watched this game after, and we're like, what? That's it? There's got to be more. We just had such high expectations. I mean, Cowboys don't even find the end zone. Like, what? Against the Chiefs? But, I mean, looking forward, the Cowboys are just a mess now with Amari out, CeeDee potentially missing. Obviously, you're now going to have Gallup and Cedric Wilson step into the leading receiving roles if CeeDee does miss against that struggling Las Vegas team in what could be a get-right game for the Cowboys here. Obviously, should be very winnable. So also, you know, if Zeke is fully healthy, he had tweak his ankle or something in this game. So obviously, him and look to Pollard as well if Zeke is, for whatever reason, not 100% and might be on a pitch count or anything like that moving forward. Pollard's a good stash to have or handcuff if you're the Zeke owner.
Absolutely, and that should have been done weeks ago. Yeah. So if you're late to that bus, you're losing out. I didn't even mention Zeke, but 9 carries, 32 yards, and 6 targets, 36 yards. Tony Pollard had more yardage, 7 carries, 50 yards, and just 2 targets for 20 yards. So more efficient from Tony Pollard on both fronts. All right, let's get to Sunday Night Football, and then we'll get to some of your questions before we get out of here. Chargers and Steelers. Chargers 41-37, very entertaining game. The Steelers really played very well, had a chance to win this game a couple of different times, put them away. But as we mentioned, top of the show, 4 touchdowns from Austin Eckler, 115 total yards. My man Jay Herbie, Justin Herbert getting it done, 382 and 3 touchdowns, 90 rushing yards. I've been telling people since he went into the draft, of course, I'm a duck. I'm biased, whatever. I watched this kid in high school. I watched him in college. He can run. And I kept telling people in the draft process when it was like Tua over Herbert and blah, 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 all this stuff. I was like, dude, tune on the Rose Bowl game against Wisconsin. He won the game on a rushing touchdown. Very athletic. He just doesn't do it because he's 6'6 and can throw all over the yard. But like low-key Josh Allen, in my opinion. I think he's great. Anyway, gets it done there for the Chargers. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams both have big games. 112 yards for Keenan, 97, and a score from Mike Williams. Deontay Johnson, 7 catches, 101 yards and a touchdown. Chase Claypool, 5 catches, 93 yards, and Najee scores a touchdown as well. Here's another bonanza, man. Everybody in, everybody gets points.
Yep, everyone in, everyone get points. And with the Steelers offense, it was good to see Big Ben be able to support this level of production. I mean, obviously, as long as he stays healthy and can continue to play rest of season. With Mason Rudolph coming in, I'm way more skeptical on the other options in the Steelers offense. The one that you didn't mention, who we've been talking about for weeks now, Pat Freiermuth, tight end for the Steelers, scores again as well.
Should have had two.
Should have had two. Wish he did have two. But Penn State guy, in case we haven't mentioned that yet on this podcast. But yeah.
Coaching extension. Big things happen for Nittany Lions.
Exactly. So, I mean, in terms of the Steelers offense, I mean, as long as Ben's under center, I'm actually pretty confident with Deontay, Claypool, Najee, and Pat. Same thing with the Chargers. I mean, this is exactly what you drafted. Not the 4 touchdowns from Eckler, but this is what you drafted and expected from the Chargers offense. You know, preseason, this yardage, this efficiency, even against a good Steelers defense, it was very promising to see this type of production from that offense.
We haven't seen a game yet with the Chargers where everybody's clicked. And this was a game where everybody clicked. And that was great to see there. Couple tight end catches as well. And again, Pat Freiermuth did have a touchdown, but he also had one of those Travis Kelce little behind the center shuttle passes. And, you know, shouts out to the Chargers. They stuffed him on the 1 yard line there. But he should have had 2 touchdowns. Eric Ebron came back in this game too. But I like Patty Freiermuth moving forward. All right. That wraps up our week 11 game recaps. Those are brought to us by our good friends at the Jersey Jungle. We'll give a shout out to them and then we'll end up with a couple of your questions. We'll be right back. Are you a merchandise maniac or jersey junkie like myself? You need to check out the Jersey Jungle. They handle their business on Instagram at the Jersey Jungle. You can use a promo code TCK for 10% off of 1 or 2 jerseys, 15% off of 3 or more jerseys. Now, if you've been watching the show for this season or a couple seasons, you know that my backdrop, if you're streaming live with us on video, you know my backdrop is always a couple of jerseys. Those jerseys are coming from the Jersey Jungle. They're high quality stitch and twill jerseys. I collect NFL jerseys, but I'm also a baseball guy. So I have baseball jerseys as well. I collect Hall of Fame jerseys. I have a Jackie Robinson. I have a Ken Griffey Jr. I have a Willie Mays jersey. I got a Shohei Ohtani jersey as well because the guy has been absolutely on fire. Go get yourself a jersey. Basketball, baseball, hockey, football, college. They got rookies as well. Home, away. They have customs. They have camouflage. Whatever you're feeling, retro jerseys from any sport, go hit up the Jersey Jungle on Instagram. DM the Jersey Jungle. Use the promo code TCK for 10% off of 1 or 2 jerseys, 15% off of 3 jerseys. These are already half price that you're going to find on the websites. They're high quality stitch and twill game authentic jerseys. Go check them out. The Jersey Jungle on Instagram. Shohei Ohtani, unanimous MVP. Shout out to my man, pitcher, catcher.
Are you a merchandise?
Whoa, outfielder, hitter, absolutely incredible. All right. Shouts out to our friends at the Jersey Jungle once again. Make sure you tune in on Sunday mornings. We may have some jersey giveaways. Stay tuned for that. All right, Jordan, before we get out of here, let's get to some of these questions, and then we will be on our way. All right, we got our boy Beach heading in with all these different questions. Appreciate you getting in here under proportion. Okay, Mark Ingram, here we go. All right. Mark Ingram, Miles Sanders, DJ Moore, or Michael Pittman at the flex. Folks, per usual, please give us your league settings, it helps us tremendously, especially when you're comparing running backs to wide receivers. Jordan, because we don't know that, let's go half PPR. Mark Ingram, Miles Sanders, DJ Moore, Michael Pittman at flex, assuming Mark Ingram plays.
Yeah, so for me, I think it's going to be DJ Moore here.
It's PPR, full PPR.
Full PPR. I still, it's definitely going to be DJ Moore for me. Has a good matchup against Miami this upcoming week. Panthers offense seems to be more efficient with Cam than with Darnold or whoever else has even thrown a pass for them this year.
PJ Walker.
Yeah, for me, it's DJ Moore here.
I'm going to take DJ Moore as well. If it was half PPR, I think I might look at like a Mark Ingram, but he's also, even if he plays, he's got a kind of a knee hiccup there. And I don't look, Jonathan Taylor just ran all over the Bills. He's Jonathan Taylor. That offensive line's different. The Colts are absolutely on fire. The Saints are not. I don't expect, and I expect that the Buffalo Bills to sober up and just be fired up for that game anyway. So, I will also take DJ Moore, but Michael Pittman's been on fire, but I just can't. I don't know. I'm not feeling it this week. So let's go DJ Moore on that one. All right, folks, that wraps up another episode of the Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast. That is our Week 11 game recaps brought to you by the Jersey Jungle. Shouts out to our sponsor, Cara Factor, as well. And, of course, all episodes of the TCK Pod have been brought to you by Believe Podcast Network. Anywhere you listen to podcasts of any kind, you can find our podcast. If you miss a live show up here on the Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, or YouTube channel for Fantasy Focused, you can just download our podcast and get every single episode in podcast form the very next morning so you don't lose out on anything there. So download the Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast. Leave us a rate and review. We much appreciate it. Also, BetOnline AG. You can go to betonline.ag for your desktop or laptop. You can also go to the app as well for all of your sports betting needs. And they will help you out there with all the best sports betting experts in the game. All sports, get after it. My man, Jordan, it's going to be a great day for tomorrow. You're from back east, man, but you're living West Coast. I'm from California. I live in Oregon. Any travel plans, man? Anything going on this year for Food Day?
Nope, no plans. Typically, my family, my parents are still back in Philadelphia. My sister's in Houston, so we're pretty all over the place. And with Christmas coming up too, it's we're saving all the travel for Christmas. So
there you go.
I'll go back home east on Christmas, then we'll fly down to Houston for actual Christmas Day. So I'll meet my sister there. But how about yourself?
I am staying home as well. We're going to have dinner with the Mrs. Mom. All my family's in California. I had that wedding last week. I saw everybody then. So we did an early Thanksgiving there. That was a lot of fun. And I work Black Friday. So we're just hanging home, watching a little football, and we're going to enjoy that. Before we get out of here, man, this will be our hot topic brought to Bomb Banana Hot Sauce, which you should have on any of your Thanksgiving dishes. Bomb Banana Hot Sauce, banana-based, not banana-flavored hot sauce. Our hot topic for the day to end the show, Jordan, food or beverage, top three must-haves during a Thanksgiving meal for you.
All right, the first one's real simple because I'm a big meat guy. I know the Tom's a big plant-based. I'm the opposite. So the turkey is the staple. Don't substitute the ham. Get the turkey. That's what it's turkey day. That's we draw turkeys. Kids draw turkeys. It's turkey. Don't substitute a ham. So turkey's one.
Like around
yeah,
the
exactly.
Ham.
Exactly. that's number one for me. Number two is going to be mashed potatoes. You got to balance out the proteins with the carbs. And then the third is going to be, my mom used to make a green bean casserole with the French's onion, fried onions.
Oh, yeah, 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 of course.
Yeah, of course. So it's got to be the way my mom made it. I don't know how she makes it differently, but I'm telling you, it's different than the way I've had it anywhere else. Maybe this year I'll ask her for the recipe since I'm not going home for Thanksgiving.
Love it. All right, I'm going to give you a free gravy of your choice as well with the potatoes. It's just it's a bonus, bonus add-on there. All right, I am going to go with I like sweet potatoes personally. I'm a yam sweet potato guy. So I'll substitute the sweet potatoes in for the mashed potatoes. Okay. And instead of gravy, I'm going to take homemade cranberry spread. Not like the canned shit.
Yep.
Like homemade tart Like, yo, my lady makes some bomb cranberry spread. It's absolutely unbelievable. And then I'm going to skip right to the finish line, dude. Mom's apple pie. I mean, I could literally eat an entire apple pie to the dome. I go all the way to the finish line, and I gotta end the night on an apple pie or two.
I was wondering if you're an apple pie or a pumpkin pie type of guy.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I've been known to put down half a pumpkin pie as well. But for me, apple pie is 101, right? Like that's like no matter the format of my dinner and my meal, I'm going apple pie at the end. But if something happens to the apple pie, I'm absolutely willing to audible last minute to a pumpkin pie. Not a problem. Wishing everybody safe travels if you're out there. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. We are appreciative and thankful to everybody who's been with us since 2018, 500 plus episodes, the entire crew here at TCK and Fantasy Focused. We want to wish you a safe day. Enjoy the three games of football, as ugly as they may be. And we will be back with you for the rest of this week, and we will trot on. Be good to yourself. Be good to each other. Enjoy the time with family, even if it's frustrating. You never know when that will be behind you. So enjoy yourself. Be safe. Eat well. Sleep well. And we'll catch you next time on the Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast. For my man, Jordan Della Valle, I am your host, Sky Guasco, and we are out of here.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.